Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You are driving down the road and you are using your GPS. You turn onto a new highway and immediately something happens. The GPS tells you you're going to drive down this road 13.3 miles. You're going to exit on the right onto either a far, far in advance before that exit even comes up. It gives you this message as to where you're going and what road you need to stay on, how to get there. Far in advance, it types out for you at the top of the screen, at least mine does, and tells you the next turn, what the exit number is, and what that street is going to be, even though it's miles down the road. Sometimes from a family vacation, it could be hundreds of miles to that exit, and yet it will tell you that you're going to be taking that exit coming up at this juncture way down the road. Far in advance, it types out those words. Far in advance, it speaks it out. It gives you not only something you can hear, something you can read, but something you can see on the map as well, giving you this map, this journey as to where you're going and what this trip is going to be like and what road you're going to be on. And sometimes as you get closer, then it will show you the exit, how you're going to exit to the right or exit to the left there. To reach a destination, you have a map, a GPS, and often frequent reminders of those directions. Tells you in advance, and then as you get closer, it's going to tell you again, okay, wake up, you're going to be turning to the right. Of course, hopefully it's not too literal to wake up, but you know what I mean. Focus on the fact that you're going to be making a right-hand turn. And in my God-given role as a pastor, one of the words for a pastor is an overseer. Part of an overseer's responsibility is certainly to care for the flock and to watch out for the flock in many different senses. Another aspect of an overseer is someone who is seeing where we need to go as a church, seeing where the flock needs to be led. Part of being a pastor is feeding the flock and saying, we need to go over here to this pasture, we need to go over here to this fresh water that we can get for our flock here. Part of being an overseer and a pastor here is to chart the course and set the direction and to lead the way that God gives to us. Today I want to take you on a little bit of that roadmap. I want to show you really the journey that we're on. I'm not going to focus so much on the ultimate destination. I'm going to focus in on the journey. You know, many times in life we can just enjoy the journey, right? We can even enjoy the trip as well as the final destination. And today as I talk about a little bit of this journey that we're on, looking a little bit at the roadmap itself, for some of you this may be brand new. The last time I talked about it, it may be that you had a cold, it may be that you were on vacation. For whatever reason, you weren't in church that day. You didn't hear some of this. Maybe it was that you were working in another ministry, and so you didn't hear some of the times when I described some of these things. Maybe you're just simply new to our church since the last time I discussed a little bit of this material here. And so for some of you here today, this is brand new material, understanding what I'm explaining. For others of you, there are going to be some segments of this that are going to be familiar to you. And as we look at these different things that are familiar to you, I want it to be something where you're looking at this like an old, like you're reminiscing through an old playbook from your sports days gone by. You think about this playbook, yeah, I remember when we ran that play, and boy, we ran it and ran. I can remember when I was in high school playing basketball. And the coach was teaching us this play that he had used when he was in high school. And even there, he could tell you that some years since he had played, he could say, we ran this play, and it was a certain move that they did. We ran this play, I don't remember how many times they said they ran it. And the defense never caught it. We ran the play, we got a bucket. Next time down the court, we ran the play, we got a bucket. We ran the play, we got a bucket. And it was like a dozen times in a row. He said, we just kept running and running. There was something to him to just reminisce, to think back to the time where he had played and just was sharing with us of that play and was excited about this. And as we look a little bit at this roadmap here today, if it's something that's new to you, I'm excited about it. If it's something where you say, you know, I've heard some of this before, that's fine. I hope it'll be like reminiscing to an old playbook. And this is what we do, and these are the moves, if you will, that we make here in our playbook. Understand, as we think about the scriptures, that as Moses was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, God gave him a phrase to describe that land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a visionary concept that was there. And if you were to look it up in the scriptures, you would find that Moses used that phrase not just one time. He used it 15 times to describe the place that they were going to. And it stuck into the minds, it stuck into the hearts of the children of Israel, so much so that 1,000 years later, if you were to read Jeremiah, if you were to read Ezekiel, those were written about 1,000 years after Moses' time, they still use that phrase. A land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said it over and over and over. And so today I want to keep the playbook, the GPS, the roadmap before us. Because Coon Rapids Baptist Church is on a journey, and today I want to tell you about this journey. Today I want to lay out for you some of our plans and some of the things that we want to do on the journey itself here. Here's the reason why. Here's the deal, right? All right? We are opening up an opportunity for people to travel with us. We are opening up the opportunity. Coon Rapids Baptist Church is on a journey, and there's room for more people to join us in. That's what I want to challenge you with today. Join the team in 2019. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do want to pray your guidance as we look at these things. Look at how we can serve you according to how your word teaches us. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide and direct and bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Coon Rapids Baptist Church and her people really are endeavoring to change. We really do want to grow. Yes, there's an aspect of that growth that is numerical, but to be honest, it begins first with an internal growth. It begins first with us wanting to grow spiritually in our lives. The people of Coon Rapids Baptist Church don't want to just go through the motions. We're not satisfied with just merely showing up and going through a routine here. Because God promised fruit. God promised in John chapter 15, much fruit. He promised fruit that would remain. He promised fruit in Psalm 1 in its season. He talked about whatsoever you do shall prosper. In John chapter 14, he talked about because Christ is going to the Father and sending back the Spirit, greater works can be accomplished here. We want some fruit. We want something to be accomplished through our lives. There's a stirring in our souls for that fruit, a craving of our appetite for the fresh strawberry taste of souls coming to know Christ. For that delicious fruit of fresh orange of people's spiritual growth and the development and the fruit that takes place in that life. We want to see fruit. We don't want to just go through the motions. And part of seeing that fruit take place is working hard to plant the fruit trees. Working hard to have these things lined up so that we know where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish. And today I want to talk to you. Today I want to talk to you about what we're doing, and I want to invite you to prayerfully consider joining us. And so today, largely, what I want to talk about is some of the things that are hanging on the walls that are around you. I want you to know what Coon Rapids Baptist Church is about. I want you to know the journey that we're on. First thing that I want to talk to you about is what's discussed over here, and that is our purpose. Karen sang it so very beautifully last week in her song. Her song said something to the effect of, when people see our church, they only see God. That's the kind of church that we really want. Our purpose is that we do church for Him, for His honor and for His glory. Listen, Coon Rapids Baptist Church is not a church about me. It's not a church about any one person or any one family. It's not a church just about buildings. It's not a church just about programs. It's not just a church about being busy and going through the motions. We are a church of people who love God here. And 1 Corinthians 10:31, I'm going to put it up here instead of having you turn to it. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That ought to be the thing that God wants from our lives. That ought to be the thing that characterizes our lives, is that we're here to glorify God. Listen, I believe that God is stirring in some people in our church that their greatest joy in life isn't all this other junk. It's just enjoying Jesus Christ each day. I believe that there's some people in our church that see, that are beginning to see, that life is not about the American dream. Life is about enjoying God. Life is about serving God. Life is about spending time with Him. We're not satisfied with the American dream. We're not satisfied with all the things and the materialism that we can have out there. We're not satisfied by looking in the mirror. Our world wants to tell us that it's all about me, and I can look in the mirror and find my satisfaction in life being all about me. But that's not the answer either. It's not the answer other people, because friends and family and even heroes can be disappointing. It's not the answer to be a Martha. The answer is to be a Mary. It is a blessing to serve God, but we ought to enjoy just spending time with God. We have found something that's quenched our thirst and satisfied our souls, and that's God. And there is a growing desire of people in our church to just enjoy God, to do church for Him, to just be excited about their God and spend time with their God and find the thrill of their day in simply walking with God each and every day of your life. And it's so awesome as they spend time with God that, to be honest, all they want to do is show God off. All they want to do is say, "This is my God. This is the wonderful God that I have. Let me tell you about it." That's glorifying God, showing off God. Do you want to come and join us in showing off our God? Is your God that you serve worth showing off? Is He somebody that you're so excited about that you want God to be glorified through this church, through these people, in our community, and around the world? Is your God that awesome that you want to tell somebody else about Him, that you want to show Him off, that you want Him to be glorified? That's our team. By the way, we're not intimidated by the fact that we may be small in number. Because as I read this Bible, I don't know how you read it, but oftentimes God does something awesome through a very small group of people so that He gets all the glory. And that's what we're all about, glorifying Him, doing it for Him. And it's not intimidating to us that our annual budget is under $100,000, because when God provides for our needs, then God will get all the glory, and nobody's going to come and look and say, "Look how wonderful you are," because we know we didn't have the numbers. We know we didn't have the finances on our own. It's just perfect. It works that way in a wonderful way because it brings honor and glory to God. That's our team. That's what we're about. That's what we're thirsting for, is the greatness of our God. Picture with me the end of the seven-year tribulation. I can't imagine, I probably can't even do it justice to begin to describe what it's going to be like on the planet Earth, as the Bible tells us, at the end of the seven-year tribulation. 7 years of really some of the worst evil known to mankind have been brought on the planet. 7 years of some of the worst judgments and punishments and the wrath of Almighty God brought upon this planet. And near the end of these 7 years, the Antichrist gathers his coalition of the world forces to Jerusalem, in an act of ultimate rebellion and defiance and hatred to God, to attack God's people in Jerusalem, and begins to win the victory that's there. Suddenly, at the appointed time, Jesus Christ comes in the clouds. And with the sword of His mouth, roaring as a lion, roaring with the mightiness of the thunder, He but speaks, and enemies are destroyed and vanquished. He but speaks, and the Antichrist and the false prophet are done away with, and all of the great leaders of that movement, whether they be kings, whether they be generals, whether they be captains or military heroes or horses or regular infantry, every person of this wicked worldwide coalition is destroyed, and the fowls of the heaven come and feed themselves upon their flesh. How exciting. How exciting that would be to watch that, to participate in that, to see all that. You'd be excited. Go, Lord. Get them. Yes. Woo. Awesome. Boy, you'd be excited about that. Then the Israelites would gather and come back to the land. And boy, you'd be excited about what they're anticipating with their golden age in front of them as it were. And perhaps the day will come, I don't know the full details of it, in which there might be some sort of coronation for King Jesus. What would it be like? What would it be like for Jesus Christ to march down the aisle, as it were, and to be crowned king, to take the crown, perhaps? And would you be the person that would just want to be there? Just would you be the person that would want to have your trumpet, and man, you would blow until your lips fell off and there wasn't another ounce of oxygen in your body at all, just blowing so excited? Would you be the person with the flowers and the rose petals, and you wish that you just had a whole semi-truck load and you could just throw them out and sprinkle them there and dump them from some balcony with all the festivities. What would it be like after the horrors of a seven-year tribulation and all that for Jesus Christ to be coming in and taking the crown and ruling and launching into a thousand-year millennial reign where he's going to rule in righteousness? What kind of excitement would you have to watch that final battle and to be there at that coronation? How thrilled would you be? That's my Lord. That's my God. That's the King of Kings. Woo, that's exciting. Listen, there could be in our church some of that same excitement. That's my God. And I spent time with him today. And he's doing a work in my life. And he's changing my life. And I'm just excited about God. And I'm just thrilled about God. Listen, that's our church. That's our team. Would you join us in showing how worthy our God is? You look at our purpose. But the second thing I want you to see is I want you to notice our core values. Our core values are our passions, and we have several of them that are listed over here on the side. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7 says, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." I just talked about this a moment ago, but in a similar sense, our church believes in a Christ that means something. It's not just ritual, it's not just routine, but Christ is something that means something to us. We love him and he's changing our lives. We also see the scripture in Romans 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things wherewith one may edify or build another. And the scripture teaches us that it ought to be our passion, our core value, to build something. And if you're a part of Coon Rapids Baptist Church, we want to build you. We want to build you in your walk with God. We want to see you strengthened in your walk with God. We want to have things in place here and people in place and some programs sometimes to help you grow in your walk with God so that you, as a strong person, can go out and build other people. And we'll call you to that, to build other people. One of our core values, our third core values, is we believe in a church that gathers for something. And Acts 2:42 says that they continued steadfastly in four things that really describe our four church services each week. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We believe in gathering for something, not just in a ritual, not just in a routine, but that there's purpose and there's reasons why we gather together. We're passionate as a church about a community that needs something. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 14, asks this probing question, and how shall they hear God preach? That doesn't mean me. It means anybody that's a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are they going to hear? Our community needs something. They need the gospel. What is the gospel? It's Jesus Christ. They need something with a capital S, and his name is Jesus Christ. Our church believes that. Our church believes that it matters that we share the gospel. Our church believes that people really are going to spend eternity somewhere. We believe that, and we're doing something about it. Our church has a core value of a cause that costs something. Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." We still believe in the word sacrifice. We still believe that it's going to cost something to serve Jesus Christ. But that's all right. We're happy with that because Jesus Christ sacrificed so very much for me and for you. It's not a big deal for me to sacrifice of my time and of my finances and of my energies in order to serve him. Those are our passions. They burn in our soul like a fire at the bottom of that picture. That's our team. This is not a place of mediocre Christianity. That's not what we're about. This is not a place of mere attendance. And by God's grace, I promise you that we will call you to get passionate for God because he is worth getting passionate about. He is worth it. Few things in this life are more disappointing than no passion. It's like a blah cookie. You ever bite into a cookie that's blah? It's like food without a taste. It's like pop that has no fizz. That's disappointing. There are few things in life that are more disappointing than no passion. It's like a sports team that doesn't care whether they win or whether they lose. Where's the passion? Where's the fire? We come to another battlefield. This battlefield for the last 40 days has had two different armies, really, in a sense, dug in. These two different armies there have just been waiting it out. For 40 days, one army really is cowering in fear. For 40 days, the other army is kind of haughty, arrogant, a little bit intimidating. Because for 40 days, this army has this champion, he's almost 10 feet tall. He's armed with bronze armor that weighs 125 pounds. He's carrying a spear. The head of the spear weighs 15 pounds. His shield is so big that another guy goes along just to carry his shield. And for 40 days, this Goliath of a man is coming out there, challenging the other army. And not a single Israelite soldier would face him. It doesn't matter that if they lose this battle, their families are at stake and the future of their nation is at stake, not one man alone. It doesn't matter that the king has promised a freedom, he's promised great wealth, he's promised the princess to the person who wins this battle. Nobody's going to move. But on this battlefield, after 40 days, walked probably a teenage young man. This teenage young man looks at this giant and says, somebody's got to do something about it. Now, what is the difference between this teenage young man and all the rest of the soldiers in the Israelite army? Why is it that he believes that something can and must and should and will be done about this soldier, that he would risk his life? Because he has a passion. Because he has a core value that he shouts out to Goliath as he faces him. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee. He goes on to explain why he says this, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. It wasn't some arrogant little teenage boy that thought he could beat Goliath. It was a young man who said, I have a passion, and I believe that God promised the victory over all of these Canaanites, Philistines included, and I believe God can do this victory, and I'm going to stand. He had a passion. He had a fire in his bones. He had a fire in his soul. And our church has a passion. It has a zeal. That's our team. Do you want to be passionate about something? Would you join us? This is our purpose. This is our core value. Number three, this is our mission. Our mission is to make friends into followers of Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ refers to disciples of Jesus Christ. Full-fledged followers. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Teach all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Sharing the gospel here. And as I said it before, our church isn't about building. Our church is about, it's not just about buildings, it's about making disciples. Our mission isn't attendees who just show up. Our mission is making followers of Jesus Christ. Our mission isn't entertainment and wowing people with a big show. Our mission is to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Our mission isn't just busyness and programs. Our mission is making followers of Jesus Christ. Our mission isn't just going through the motions. Our mission is to see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if our purpose is to show off how good our God is, isn't there anybody that we can go to and say, listen, my God is so good. Can we share the gospel and we fulfill the mission? If our core values really are that we believe in a Christ that means something, then won't we share that Christ with other people? If our core value is really that our community needs something, then won't we take the time and won't it be our passion and won't it be our mission to make friends into followers of Jesus Christ that would just be logical? Some of us may not think that we can be much of a witness. We're not a preacher. We're scared. We look a little over the old ourselves and we say, well, what can really be accomplished through us? You know, John's gospel tells a very different story. John's gospel describes someone whom we would think maybe wouldn't be very effective, very fruitful in sharing the gospel. Yet it was an amazing thing. The person, and I don't want to be offensive, but understanding that culture, the person was a woman. And in that culture, in that day and time, that was sometimes considered to be less important. Furthermore, she had been immoral, very immoral in her life. She didn't come from a Christian, home, but rather from a background that was very mixed up in its beliefs and its ideas. And now on top of all these different things that I've already mentioned, this person hasn't even been a Christian very long. And you look at this lady, you look at the woman at the well, and you think to yourself, if you were to just look at all those things and you didn't know the rest of the story, what kind of a witness would this person be? What kind of a difference could this person be, understanding the culture and the way they thought? But that woman knew the love of Christ. That Jesus Christ would stop at the well and that all these people would talk to me. She knew his love. First, she knew that he was the Messiah. She knew that he knew all about her, understood all about her, still saved her, still expected a penalty for sin and all of that, all those gospel truths there. She knew all that about him. She was so thankful and so thrilled for what she had in Jesus Christ that she just had to tell others, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Isn't this Christ? In her own thrill over Jesus made her want to share the gospel with other people, to want to make other followers of the same Jesus that she was following. Listen, we want to have people, and God's already doing it in this church, where people want to share the gospel because they love Jesus, because they're burdened for the lost, not because pastors over here beating anybody over the head, but simply that they want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to be a witness. And you don't have to be perfect, and you don't have to be an expert at it. If you walk with God, He can help you. Today, I wonder, by the way, do you know Jesus Christ? Has there been that time when you, like the woman at the well, have come to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the long-promised Son of God that was coming, and you have seen that you're a sinner and you deserve to spend eternity without God because of your sins, but God so loved you that He sent Jesus Christ this month of love. Valentine's Day, people think about it. He sent His Son in great love to die on the cross for your sins. Has there been a time in which you understood that and said, I'm going to turn from my sins and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? That is the mission of our church, to make friends into those followers of Jesus Christ, people who will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's our team. Would you join us? I want to take you then also to our strategy. I'm going to tell you that our strategy is thoroughly based on Scripture. In the Scriptures, there are three different uses of the word disciple. In John chapter number 6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. The first way that word disciple is used in the book of John is as of curious disciples, people who just wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. And so they followed him around. They were a follower, they were a disciple, but only at the curious level. And in our day and time in which people are less literate in the Scriptures and less knowledgeable of the Word of God, we're going to need to do things to make them curious. Has anybody become more curious about Jesus Christ because of your life? They see you being persecuted at work and treated unfairly for your spiritual walk with God, but they see how you respond, and they're curious. They see that there's a holiness of life and a godliness of life, and they're curious. They hear you share the Word of God with them, and the Spirit takes that Word of God, and it drives it and buries it deep into their soul, and it makes them curious. They see God doing a work in your life, and changing you, and transforming you, and answering your prayers, and they're curious because they see God doing a work. By your good works, you glorify, cause them to glorify your Father which is in heaven. I wonder if you're making people curious. We're going to have to work with God to make people curious. And we're not going to make people curious at Coon Rapids Baptist Church by becoming like the world. We're not going to make them curious by trying to outworld and outwow the world. But what will make people curious is a bunch of people who say their purpose in life is just a bunch of people who says Christ means something to me. And when the American dream doesn't satisfy to people, and when their life is empty, and when there's so many other things are empty, you can walk up to them and say, listen, let me give you the only thing that will satisfy you in your life. There's something we can present to make them curious. You have it in your own heart, in your own soul. And so we make them curious. Come with me to a horrible place. It's a dark place. It's a diseased place. It's probably a rodent-infested place. There, as we enter into this dark, murky, nasty place, we find two men that have been beaten cruelly, then thrown in this cell and fastened there securely for the night. To add on top of the horrible environments, add on top of the fact that they're in there, is the fact that before they were put there, they were beaten cruelly. And to be honest with you, they were beaten against the law, against the government. But it happened. They're thrown in this cell, this nasty place, they're there, and yet these people, Acts 16 and verse number 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And do you ever wonder why, a short while later, when there's a Philippian jailer, when the jailer there is thinking that his life is about to end, he would turn to them? Why would he look to them? Why would he be interested in what they said? Because all night long, he's been listening to these guys. He knows they've been beaten. He knows that this place is not a great place. He probably knows that they don't deserve it. And yet there's a joy in their heart. There's a smile on their face. They're walking with the Lord. They're doing the best they can to walk in God's grace in this matter. And when he needs help, who is he going to turn to? I don't want these guys. Because they've made him curious. And that night, he moves not only from a curious disciple, if you will, to a convinced disciple. He's decided, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he does, and his household trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. And so we want people to be curious, and we want them to be convinced, and finally we want them to be committed followers of Jesus Christ. Committed followers. If you're a carpet layer, you be a carpet layer who is locked into following Jesus Christ with all your heart. If you serve food in the high school cafeteria, you serve food to the honor and glory of God with all of your heart to serve God. You live for God and be a disciple of Jesus Christ in that way. If you're a young person living at home, our mission is to help you be the best follower of Jesus Christ at home that you can possibly be. We reference John chapter number 6 here. And Jesus had done a bunch of healings there of diseased people, and people were kind of curious, and they kind of came to check him out. And then he had fed the 5,000, and people followed him for that. And Jesus said, you guys are just following me for the food that you didn't get out of it. What you really need to do, what he was saying is, you need to put your faith and trust in me. And they weren't willing to do that. And they walked away. And as many of them walked away, Jesus Christ looked at the 12 disciples there. He asked them, are you guys going to walk away? What was their response going to be when so many others were walking away? And Simon Peter makes this awesome reply. He says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, those are words of passion. Why would we leave you? You have life. You're God. Look at all we have in you. And those are the words of somebody who is absolutely committed. Somebody who is absolutely determined. I am going to follow Jesus Christ. This is the message of the book of Job. In the book of Job, it tells us that you can lose every dollar of your wealth. You can lose every ounce of your respectability in society. And you can lose your family. You can lose, he in a sense lost his spouse as she challenged him. You can lose your health. God is still worth serving. God is still worth following with your life. And our strategy as a church is, yes, to help people be curious and then help them to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and be convinced, but not to leave them there, but to say that our God is still worth serving, even if you have nothing. You're so committed to Jesus Christ. That's who we're interested in producing here in this place. That's what we want with our children's ministries, is to see young people grow up and say, I'm going to be committed to Jesus Christ no matter what I go through in this life. That's what we want with our school. That's why our motto is this, learning to follow Christ, followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want for you, is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's our team. We want to produce disciples. And I wonder today, do you want to be a disciple? Do you want to be a committed, full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ? By the way, let me just add it to you. We've made a little picture here of God, a little stick figure. There's five little parts on his body, And each one of those five parts on his body represent one of our five core values. And we didn't just pick these core values because we thought they were really neat, but we picked these core values because they are the very things that Jesus Christ taught. And by the time I can take you to passages in Scripture where every one of those is what it means to be a disciple, a full-fledged, committed follower of Jesus Christ. So if you want to see whether you really are a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ, you can see whether you live out those five core values or whether you're missing an arm, missing a leg, because that core value isn't a part of your life. So we are trying to produce disciples. What does a disciple look like? It's somebody who lives out these core values that Jesus Christ taught are what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's our team. Would you join us? Our church has spent more than a year discovering what God says our team should be like, and I firmly believe that these principles are rooted in the Scriptures here. We've worked hard to try to express what we believe and where we're going. Our purpose answers the why question. Our core values answers the question of who we are, what we're doing, how are we doing it is our strategy here. Now we're looking for people who want to join our team, building the team in 2019. And I really believe that our church is poised to make some great strides here. We have a tremendous set of buildings and properties that long have been taken care of so that we can go forward in this age. We have people in every age category in our church. We have a core group of people who are dedicated and working in many capacities, many of them wearing many different hats to get everything done. We have finances to pay the bills, finances to pay a pastor here. And we have the whole city of Coon Rapids where statistically, not even a spiritual statistic, but just to point out a factual statistic that's out there, a secular statistic, there's the word I was looking for, is that half the population, 30,000 of those people, don't go to church on any given Sunday. And we are offering the opportunity to join us on this journey by getting on the team. We're excited about it. We're building the team in 2019, and we want to know, would you join? As far as I can tell, the church in Philippi, which we read about in Philippians, had a very unusual relationship with Paul. Paul had come into Philippi. I referenced the time of Philippian jail there. He'd come in, he led these people to Christ. And yet when you read the opening verses of Philippians chapter 1, verse number 5, Paul says he's very thankful for their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is very thankful for their fellowship. The word fellowship means their partnership. It's a word that means to be a stockholder, to have a share, an investment in it. And these people had heard Paul preach the gospel and they said, that's what I want for my life. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. But there were people who just got saved. There were people that said, you know what? I believe in what Paul's doing. I believe in where he's going. I believe in what he's trying to accomplish. And I want to be a shareholder in that. I want to make an investment in that. I want to be a part of that. And Paul says they fellowshiped it with him. They got a share in that. You read through chapter 1 and chapter 4, kind of the bookends of the book there, you'll see that they had a share in it financially. They gave to Paul several times, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. They had a share encouragingly. They kept encouraging Paul in the difficult times in his imprisonment. And they had a share in it personally. They were working, striving together for the faith of the gospel, chapter 1 and verse number 27. They had a share. They said, you know what? We believe in this. We believe in the gospel. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we see what Paul's doing, and we want to have a part of it. We want to get on board. Would you be willing to join us and do the same? For some, you may be a regular attender, but you haven't joined. I'm not here to rate anybody. No. I'm here to tell you this is where we're going. I'm excited about the journey and the trip that we're on and our destination of where we're going. I'm here to open the doors and say, you're welcome to join us. For some, maybe you are a member, but you've not been very involved. And there's more that you could be doing in the cause of Christ, but you need to get involved. This is our team this year. Would you join us? Join our team in 2019.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.